Welcome to the Compliance Divas podcast. This is Linda Harvey, and I will be your moderator for this episode. In this episode, the Divas are celebrating a very important member of the dental team. And actually, this person is the one that's the glue that holds the teams together and wears countless hats. In addition, we have a very special guest who's never been on our podcast before. So before I introduce our special guest, I would like to say that the Compliance Divas bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating the regulatory world to keep you on course. We invite you to subscribe to the Compliance Divas podcast through your favorite podcast channel or on our website, thecompliancedivas.com. Any of the resources that we mentioned today will also be found on our website. And we invite you to submit any questions that you might have to support@thecompliancedivas.com. And at the end of the podcast, we hope that you will scroll down and leave us a review. Well, this week, March 3rd through the 9th, marks Dental Assistance Recognition Week, known as DARW for short. This is the perfect time to recognize and acknowledge this wonderfully talented member of your team. And as a matter of fact, my fellow divas have all been dental assistants at one time in their career. I myself have as well, but very short period of time for myself. But if we listed every single task that the dental assistants carry out throughout the day, the week, or the month, we would run out of time. So I think you get the picture. Instead, what I'd like to do is introduce you to our special guest, Julie Varney, who is a certified dental assistant as well as a registered dental assistant. Julie is a well-known leader and champion of dental assistants everywhere. Julie, welcome to the Compliance Divas podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we can't wait to hear what all you have to say and share with our listeners. So let's start off with Leslie has a question for you.
Okay. Julie, how did you become a dental assistant? And your career path has not just been chairside assisting. You've actually gone beyond the operatory. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your career and how you have come to be the established dental professional you are today?
Oh, sure. Well, let's see. I started on the job when I was 18. I had started in hygiene school, and my second semester of hygiene school, I ended up pregnant. So I ended up going out of hygiene and into dental assisting. Someone said, you can be a dental assistant. Great, here I am. I worked through being on the job trained in the same practice for almost 24 years and just continued to learn because there was no... Like nowadays, we have all these supportive measures, right? We have all these people that support us and lift us up and education that we can do. So I just continued to learn and learn and learn. I then eventually opened up a school in 2007 to train dental assistants and got my CDA and then got my RDA and just continued. The biggest thing I think, you know, you just got to push yourself to be better than the next day. And when you have no supportive system, nowadays we have, you know, all the social media and the network of people and ways to keep connected. So it's just, you know, it's just been a journey and you just keep going with it.
Now, Julie, there's one other little piece of information that you had left out of your illustrious career, and that is with dental board experience. Tell us about that.
So they give one seat to a dental assistant in the New York State Dental Board, and I am the seat for the next 5 years. I was recommended from the girl that previously had it for 10 years. So she recommended that I have it. So my seat on the board is to help with dental assistance laws, rules, regulations from a public perspective, because our dental board's there to protect the public and work with the association to help laws, rules, and regulations for dental assistance. So it's quite interesting. It doesn't go as fast as I would like it to go. There's like a lot of things you want to do, but you have to go through the proper channels and hoops and stuff. So it'll be a slow going 5-year process.
And it's good to know that you'll be part of the legislative and regulatory machine that helps improve patient safety and patient treatment in the dental world by virtue of making your mark on the dental assisting career and how that impacts dentistry. Thanks so much for that information.
Yes, yeah, you're welcome. It's definitely going to be, you know, a challenge. Like I said, my end goal is to make sure it's mandated in New York State that all dental assistants have to be registered at some point. But will I happen to see it in my career? Not sure yet. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
We will definitely stay tuned, Julie, because I think that is an admirable goal to elevate everybody on the dental team. And I think it's well worth working for. And I know you're putting a lot of heart and soul into it. You're also putting your heart and soul into a whole nother area of your life and your dental assisting presence. And Olivia would like to ask you a question about it.
So, Julie, we've been following you on social media and very impressed with you and your accomplishments. And we were wondering, in light of your great presence on social media, how do you engage your followers to learn more and grow as a dental assistant?
I think it's just having them believe in themselves. I think a lot of times they come from all different walks of life and they're in all different states. So, always the first thing I said, when they say, "Oh, should I become an EFTA?" Well, I don't know what state you're in and if that's legal. So, the first thing we need to do is look at our legalities and our laws, rules, regulations that we can do as a dental assistant. And if you can, yes, then become it. So, and I think challenging themselves to kind of push past their problems and how to deal with things in a positive light and a positive meaning to get them where they're going is important. Some often, I mean, if I could share the messages or the DMs you get from, my doctor was not so nice today. What do I do? I'm the one that's, I give it back to him, hey, you're there for him, So it's elevating them to the next level. And I guess feeling like they have someone they can talk to that's not going to judge them. That's the biggest thing, is that we're all judgy and we should not be judgy.
A good point. And really having the dental assistant feel like that is a profession. That is a great spot in the dental field, and to feel needed and important and educated and skilled. And I'm always impressed watching great dental assistants. Having been one, I never felt like I was a good assistant, but I was a registered assistant. I loved the infection control, but chairside was not my thing. So I think it's a good thing that I didn't pursue being a dentist and instead a lawyer. The general public should be happy. I'm not a dentist. But
And it's also having, I say at the end of the day, and I say it with my students too, if at the end of the day you put your head down and you don't like what you do, it's okay. Move on, find something. If you want to work at McDonald's and flip burgers and you're happy doing that and you're a good member of society, sure, do that. But I always get a lot of, "Oh, I'm leaving dental assisting to go to hygiene and blah, blah, blah." And, why would, if you're a dental assistant, run, don't be a dental assistant. You have to block out the negativity and just kind of do what you love. Because if you don't, then you're going to be kind of swallowed up by the people that aren't truly happy with what they do. They're just there doing it, basically.
yeah, you've got to enjoy the journey for sure, whatever that position is in a dental office. And I think dental assistants need to be recognized for their contributions of what they do. But I also understand, Julie, that you have a CE challenge for dental assistants this year. Can you talk to us about that?
So I always find that we struggle at getting ourselves continuing education. And most of us don't do it unless we have to for our license or registration or the doctor dreaded. So I was thinking before Christmas, I'm like, what can I do to people out? They always ask me, where's a free CE? That doesn't cost them anything because, dental assistants can't have a lot of money out of their pocket in order to grow. So what's a cost affordable, effective way that they can learn? So I went through 52 weeks, found 52 different courses that you could take through Viva Learning, Crestoral B's one, Dental Care, CE Zoom, that were free and with a little bit of time and a little bit of effort, maybe 1 to 2 hours a week, they could get some continuing ed in various topics. I'm trying to sprinkle a lot of things about OSHA and infection control and chairside stuff, but it was to help them feel like, oh, I know more about what's going on in the world of dentistry in the office I work at, and kind of bring them together as a group that everybody was doing it. So I have about 972 people that have downloaded the tracker.
That's incredible, Julie.
Yeah. So, and then I was like, oh, I was trying to put it up every week. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put it on the tracker and give them the first 20 weeks to download, and then the next 20 weeks, and the 12 weeks. I'll have three trackers and it has clickable links where they can just click on the link. They want to download it and take them right in there. and takes them right to the course. They can take it. And then I told them just to save, start a folder on your desktop. So if any of you have any CE out there that's free for dental assistants, let me know and I'll put it on my tracker.
Sure.
Well, you know what struck me, Julie, is when you talked about elevating dental assistants, and I'm going to jump in real quick to this conversation. So it reminds me that dental assisting is not a dead-end career. I know that oftentimes everybody thinks about a career ladder where you start off maybe as a trainee or an intern during the summer, you become a dental assistant. Mm-hmm. You do fulfill your state requirements to move further, maybe you don't. It just depends. Some states you can sort of remain on the job trained and do limited amount of tasks and skills. But it's not dead end. I work with some dental practices where I see a lead assistant just really flourish. They're proactive in looking for products and researching things and just managing things in advance. And they're using their critical thinking skills. So it's not just about sitting in a chair side and assisting the dentist and dozing off or, daydreaming.
Right.
There's so much that's involved. And, because every time a patient sits in your chair, Julie, I firmly believe that you have a patient's life in your hands. It's so impactful. Every role, every member of the team, every role plays an important part. And so the dental assistant, we just want to elevate them up this week. So we're so happy that you're helping us do that.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be on. Anything I can help you guys out with too. I value your courses that I took. It gives me knowledge. It's definitely helpful for any offices out there.
Well, thank you. Murray would like to ask him some additional questions, Julie.
Hi, Julie. I am a huge fan of yours and everything you do for.
I'm a huge fan of yours. You came through at the last minute for me and I appreciate it forever.
Mutual admiration society. Don't get frustrated with the time it takes in your role on the dental board. I served on the board in Michigan as the dental assistant rep for two terms in the 1990s, which now feels like a previous life. Nothing in that regulatory arena happens quickly, but there are not a lot of states. I don't know exactly what the number is. I think Danby would know how many boards actually have dental assistant members. And at the time I served, there were very, very few. And one of my dental hygiene mentors, who was actually the program director at Lansing Community College in Michigan, where I went to hygiene school, was the first dental hygienist to chair a board of dentistry. And that shook up a lot of dentists that, they want to be in control of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Something else before we get to talking about your transition story. We want our listeners to know that the Dental Assisting National Board, I think this week, is convening a work group to look at how to standardize dental assisting functions in all the state dental practice acts. And that's huge because it varies so much from state to state. So that could then be a stepping stone, hopefully, to getting only we could, a nationalized type of credential. So more power to you, Julie's position.
I think I looked at, the whole, the Danby, I think it's called the coalition workforce thing.
Yes.
The thing I think they missed out is including someone from every state, a dentist from every state that's from the dental association, the people that make our laws, the people that hold our scope in their hands, being part of that. Because I think they really should have been, I think they got people from the American Dental Boards, but they didn't get anybody from the states, somebody from California, someone from New York, a dentist because ultimately, if you think about it, the dentists and all those laws, they're the ones that hold our scope of practice, our moving forward in their hands. They're the ones that have the power to make all the laws with their association. So I'm hoping that they kind of realize that, and I hope they do come up with a national set of standards like they have in the past, but something more for every state so that it moves forward and is beneficial to all the dental assistants out there.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I think the rationale with starting with the dental boards is because that's really where the regulatory changes come from. And having chaired the task force for the American Dental Assistants Association also more than 20 years ago, when we looked at this issue, it was tough to try to get enough representation, but
not make it too unwieldy to try to get
Right.
something done. So, Julie, tell us a little bit about your transition that you just made from private practice to dental assisting education. How was that going? What precipitated that decision for you?
Let's see. So I'm still kind of in private practice. I still help them on do the books. But what happened was is my good friend was looking for a hygiene job. And I was typed in dental hygiene, on Indeed, and the ad for the school came up. And I was like, oh, she's like, you should apply. And I'm like, nah, I don't know if I want to go back to teaching. And it's high school kids and it's not an established program. So they had an adult program and they converted it over to a high school 2-year program. And so I'd be building the plane as I fly it with everything. So I applied and got the job. It's a little different because I taught adults for 10 years in my own school. And then teaching high school, it's a whole different ball game. I have to do all this other health careers and math and English and science. And, I'm responsible for shaping these people before they go out into the adult world. So it's going good. I started out with 12. I have 8 now. I've had 4 move on. I don't know how long I'll last, honestly, because I'm not the type of person that will just do something or pass somebody along just because it's the right thing to do. Like, I know they're all about giving these kids a chance and stuff like that. So my concern is that I don't last the length of the program. I have a 3-year contract, so I'm not worried about that. But if they don't want to be there, I don't think they should be there. They offer like 14 other programs. Find something that you like. Just don't come here and waste my time and someone else's time. And I told them right up front, you have to wear a uniform and you have to be in someone's tiny little bubble of a mouth with saliva and blood. And if this is not for you, let's find something for you. Because I'm a big believer, don't waste anybody's time doing something that you're pushed to do or your counselor said, oh, this will be a great path for you when it's not. So we'll see how it goes. But I have some amazing students right now, and they got some awards this week, and that was great. And they're going out into internship, out into the real world of dentistry. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, I can't think of a better mentor and teacher than you. And I think the advice that you're giving them, if this isn't for you, then move on, find something else. I think that's probably so valuable for them to hear.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of in trade schools are where it's at. But they offer 14 other different programs if you're not college bound or whatever. I just feel like anything in life that they do, they need to find their happiness and be happy with what they do and how they do it. They're so young and they have the whole world
That's
ahead of them.
they do, and that's so true, Julie. Leslie has a follow-up question for you now.
Sure.
I was just wondering, Julie, in my experience, I've encouraged younger entry-level people into dentistry to not think that dental assisting is the end of the road. That there are so many different ways you can go in dentistry. And maybe working for one of the dental industry, whether it's for supplies or materials or instruments or sterilizers, that if they have a chance to perhaps go to one dental annual session where they have a large exhibit floor, they can see the many different directions that they could go when it
Absolutely.
comes to dental assisting and not actually be in the dental practice, but still be very much involved in the world of dentistry.
I had one of my former students came and she was a dental assistant for 10 years and now she's a Patterson rep. So she came in and spoke about dental sales and what to do if you don't want to work and as a dental assistant and what you can do with all the knowledge that you have. So it was great to see that she got hired by Patterson, is working for them. She's actually my sales rep for the school. So it worked out great. I have a couple students that want to go into hygiene, and we've already put them into the right pathway for hygiene and stuff like that. It's just dentistry offers so much, I tell them. And it's such a vast network. If you don't like working in general, you can go work in ortho. If you don't like working in ortho, you can work in root canals. I don't recommend root canals, but endodontics is okay too.
And there's
But
just so many diverse areas, aren't there? That's what's so
yeah.
exciting about it. So I know just from the time that I taught dental hygiene students, it's so rewarding being with individuals at the beginning of your career and helping to shape them. And I just, like Mary said, I couldn't think of a better mentor than you with all of your vast experience and your big-heartedness and all those great virtues that you have. So what
Sometimes I'm a little hard and to the point with them, but you know, hey, that's my job is to get them where they need to go.
Well, straight talking is good. We want the facts. We don't want sometimes things can't be sugarcoated in life. So
Right.
listening to this now, thinking about, work with the high school students and how long you've been in dentistry and all the great areas and things you've done and accomplished, what would you offer to our dental assisting listeners who are listening to this podcast, as well as maybe their fellow assisting teammates? What words of wisdom or what thoughts can you share with them? You've talked about ongoing learning
Is
on.
being a good teammate. You're not going to get along with everybody that you work with. And it's very hard because there's a chain, and I hate that there is, or a tree, I call it at school. You know, we have the dentist, and then we have the hygienist, and then we have the dental assistant, and then we have the front office, and we have all these people in this tree of dental life, I call it, that have to be supportive, and you have to reach out your branch to, and they help you grow. But you also have to learn how to work well with others. And Sally Sue, you might not like her, what she does, but she's your teammate. So while you're there, you know how to work well with others, because that's the biggest thing, is people have such different personalities that sometimes they can't work with each other. And nobody should have, well, I know you're, it's called the compliance divas, but nobody should have the diva, dental diva, you know, like mentality, especially when someone's learning. It's so disheartening. And that how you can help your teammate be better, and taking really good constructive criticism from them. That's the best thing I can think of, is whether you don't know anything about dentistry, it's just being a good person to the next person, you know?
That is such solid advice. I tell you, it made me think of a couple of things as you were saying that, Julie. And these are cliches, so forgive me, but there's no I in teamwork. And the word team together, everyone achieves more. And that's what it's all about. We have to pull together day in and day out to make things happen, to keep patients safe and to stay safe ourselves. So perfect. We are so grateful that you took time today to join
Oh,
us
thanks. I
for
appreciate it.
celebrating Dental Assistance Recognition Week.
Recognition
This
week.
is
Yes,
a
it's coming
perfect
up.
week. This is it. We're going to air this podcast on that week. So, as the Compliance Divas, we bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating the regulatory world to keep you on course. We invite you to subscribe to the Compliance Divas podcast through your favorite podcast channel or on our website, thecompliancedivas.com. Any resources that we've mentioned today will also be found on our website. And we invite you to submit questions to support at thecompliancedivas.com. And don't forget to scroll down to the end of your podcast app and give us a review. Thanks for joining us.